pastors, soldiers in the kingdom of God. It's time to hear the very words of God. Isn't it, I love this, isn't it amazing that God put his words for us to read? I am eternally grateful God gave us a book so that we could hear from him, a book that is unlike every other book in existence, a book truly that is unlike any other religious book out there, a book with stories, poetries, love songs, wisdom, parables, instruction, rebuke, even apocalypses. A book that is historically reliable, internally consistent, and has been changing lives for over 3,000 years. This is the very words of God. And in our study of Mark, we've seen the word of God become flesh. The God-man Jesus, and Mark has made it clear through his book that we are dealing with God. And he has just been exalting the person of Jesus over and over. And in this section that we're kind of in right now, end of 4 and into chapter 5 of Mark, Mark has decided to give us the most incredible, awe-inspiring stories of Jesus. We just sang our God is an awesome God, and that's a great summary for this section in the book of Mark. He said, I want to show you the most incredible things that Jesus did in his ministry. And that last week, we saw the awesome power of God over nature. This week, we're seeing Jesus' awesome power over the devil. And in the next section that we'll study, we're going to see Jesus' awesome power over sickness and even death. And that we are seeing the full power and the full authority of Jesus in chapters 4 and 5. And today, Jesus is going to knock our socks off. Because today, we are going to see how Jesus can turn the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. That Satan himself doesn't stand a chance against the authority and power of Jesus. And if you remember from last week, Jesus is crossing the lake to grow the kingdom of God. He is expanding the kingdom of God across the lake. And this morning, we're going to see what happens when that boat touches land. So grab your Bibles and open up to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1. And that's page 1562 if you're using the church Bible. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Here is the word of the Lord. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When Jesus goes across the lake and gets out of the boat with his disciple, here immediately comes this man, crazy naked guy. Mark doesn't tell us this, but in Luke's parallel account, Luke tells us he doesn't wear clothes. So this is crazy naked guy coming at Jesus as soon as he touches land on the other side of the boat. And I'm just sitting here thinking, man, Jesus can't catch a break. Right, literally the day before, he's preaching all day in the hot sun, and he's exhausted dealing with the crowds. I mean, we know he's exhausted because he was able to sleep during a nasty storm. And then the disciples have to wake him, and he has to cause the storm. And I mean, don't you just hate it when people awaken you from your naps? But Jesus has a mission, and tired or not, Jesus is committed to the call to spread the kingdom. And this is why he's traveled across the lake. This is why he's going at night to make sure that he can keep spreading the kingdom of God. And so they reach the other side of the lake, and it's time to go into the town that's nearby on the shore of the lake to continue spreading the kingdom of God. And here comes running at him, crazy naked guy. Matthew also records this story with the same parallel account, and Matthew tells us that there are actually two guys, but Mark just focuses on one of them, probably the more extreme case. And this man, we are told, has an impure spirit, or some translations say an unclean spirit, but what they mean is a demon-possessed man. That this man is possessed by a demon, and in our story, in our study of Jesus, we have seen Jesus deal with those who are possessed by demons. We've seen exorcisms. We've studied a few of them. But this story is altogether different because we're going to get a lot more detail. And the first thing that we're told is this man lives by the tombs. He has no home. Well, at least at this point in the story. I mean, he had a father and mother. He probably had some siblings. He probably grew up in a town nearby. And if I would assume that he wasn't possessed by a demon from his birth. And so I'm sure that he grew up and his parents had a plan for his life. Right, that he would follow his dad into the family business because that's what they did. That he would find a wife. That he would get married and have kids. And then one terrible day, his parents realize something's wrong with their son. Or maybe it happened a little later in life, and one day he comes home from work, and his wife realizes something is wrong. And then the problem gets worse, and they realize he's possessed by a demon. All the signs are there. He's hurting himself. Someone else is speaking, using his mouth and his words. The man that they know and loved has gone and is no longer in control over himself. He is possessed by a demon who has gathered complete control over this man. And it's a bad demon. It's a bad demon causing untold destruction to himself, that he is hurting himself. He's probably a danger to himself and to others. He can't stay in the city. He's causing too much damage, and so they have to send him out of the city just to protect others. And with tears in their eyes, they have to shackle his hands and his feet to try and protect himself so he doesn't keep hurting himself. And he doesn't keep hurting those around him, and they have to force him out of the city for his own protection and for the protection of others. But he's too strong, or I should say the demon is too strong, because he's breaking iron. That's incredible, ripping it off himself. And that they have to go out time and time again and force him down and try and reshackle his arms and his legs to protect himself. But the demon is too strong. Iron chains can't keep this man bound. And so word spreads throughout the town and in the region, stay away from the tombs. Mothers warn their kids, don't play near the tombs. Crazy naked man is there. For your safety and protection, stay away from the tombs. That this man is lost out in the tombs by himself, day and night, cutting himself with stones. This is the man who approaches Jesus. Naked, crazy. We're going to find out he's running, sprinting at Jesus. I assume if he's been cutting himself, he's got scars all over his body from old wounds. Maybe he has an open wound that's dripping blood as he's running towards Jesus. And I'm sure that as this scene plays out, the disciples step off the boat and they see this man running at them and they're worried. Right? They know that they are crossing the lake to the other side. They have left Israel. And as every good Jewish man knows, all the other nations are unclean. Only Israel is pure. And so they step off the boat into an unclean land in their minds. And immediately here comes a man with an unclean spirit running right at them. What is Jesus going to do? Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And that they get off the boat, and this man is running down the hill. He's sprinting at Jesus, crazy, naked, scarred man running right at Jesus. And Jesus immediately springs into action, and Mark flips the order of how it happened. But Jesus goes first, "Come out of him, you impure spirit." Jesus understands the situation in an instant, that this man is possessed by a demon. Jesus knows his enemy, Satan, and his kingdom, that Satan is opposing Jesus at every turn. And the very reason Jesus crossed this lake was to bring the kingdom of God. And here comes a man running at Jesus, filled with the power of Satan, under his control, in the kingdom of Satan. And Jesus is working to free this world from the kingdom of Satan and bring it into the kingdom of God. Here comes the exact reason Jesus crossed the lake, to continue spreading the kingdom. And so Jesus calls the demon out of the man. And the demon responds, verse 7, yelling at the top, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. In God's name, don't torture me. And if I didn't have this mic on, I would yell that, because that's what happened. His voice is resonating over the waters, over the hills. Everyone in earshot can hear this man yell. And it's incredible what the demon says. Incredible, because all Jesus says is, come out of this man. And immediately the demon knows the game is over. The demon immediately recognizes he has no power. The God-man standing in front of him has complete authority over the demon. Whatever Jesus wants to do to the demon knows Jesus has full authority. And so he can only plead with Jesus, please don't torture me, because he knows if Jesus wants to, Jesus could torture this demon. The demon knows he is powerful to resist. Clearly, this is the Son of the Most High God. I have lost. And I said this the first time we saw an exorcism in the book of Mark, but Jesus is unlike any other exorcist of his day, because we have records. There were exorcists of the day, but Jesus doesn't operate like them, because they have to get the special name of the demon to have authority over the demon, or they have to have the special passwords and the right phrases to gain control over a demon. And they had their magical paraphernalia that they used to gain control over the demon, but Jesus needs none of that, because he is God Most High. And his authority is enough that his very presence is that a demon knows the game is over. The demon can do nothing but plead for mercy. And I want to stop right here in the story, because I want to make a quick point about this little exchange between Jesus and the demon. Because the demon immediately recognizes who Jesus is. I mean, it's immediate. The demon knows this is God. This is Son of God Most High. And he knows he doesn't stand a chance, that God's authority is so great. The demon knows the game is over. And I would say this, that the demon has great Christology, or great theology and understanding of who Jesus is. In fact, I'd say he probably has probably a better understanding than even we do. Demons know who God is, but they oppose God. They hate God. They don't follow him. And I think that's incredible that the demon can make an affirmation, Jesus is Son of the Most High God. And so often in this life, people make the same affirmations that this demons make. People will say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. But that claim enough is not what Jesus is after. He wants people to follow him. He wants people to love him. And so when people, I have so many friends, and it breaks my heart, because I hear them make a claim, oh, I believe in God, and I just say, but you don't live like it. There's no evidence that you follow him, and all you're doing is making the same exact claim that demons make, that Jesus wants people to follow him, to surrender their lives, and to love him, that this is the kingdom of God, and that the demons can make the same claim that so many people in our culture make, because Jesus wants to spread his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and what that looks like is people following after Jesus. And that's what Jesus is doing in this story. So let's keep reading. Verse 9. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. And this is the big reveal of the story. Wait, did I read far enough? I didn't. I'm sorry. Verse 13. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. This is the big reveal of the story. This is what makes this story so crazy. Why Jesus is so powerful, because he isn't possessed by a demon. Because the demon responds, my name is Legion. He is possessed by Legion. And a legion is a Roman grouping of soldiers that numbers 6,000. That crazy naked guy is not possessed by one demon. No, he is possessed by many. It may have been 6,000 demons. That's certainly possible. I kind of doubt what demons say because they work for the father of lies and the boasting one. And so it's hard to trust a demon. But it certainly makes sense that he's possessed by quite a few. That would explain his power, his ability to break through the shackles. It would explain how incredible this story is because this man is completely consumed by the power of the devil. But even in a situation where Satan has complete reign over someone's life, as soon as Jesus shows up, the demons know who is in control. And they beg Jesus not to send them out of the area. Again and again they beg, like, just let us remain in this region. And the demons know Jesus has control to do whatever he wants. And so they say, just send us into those pigs over there on the hillside. And I love this story, pigs. It's like, it's just comical to me. Like, just send us into these pigs. Let us just stay in the region. Oh, we don't need to inhabit any humans. Just let us go into these pink animals. And so they plead, Jesus, send me into the pigs. And I just get this picture of a kindergarten class. And it's like, teacher, can I have permission to go somewhere? Like, that's what they're doing to Jesus. He is in complete control and authority. They know their eternal destiny. Demons know what's going to happen to them, but they hate God so much that they just want to hang around and cause as much havoc and bring as many people with them as they can to the abyss. And if I ever wish we had a live cam in Bible times, it would be for this story, to see pigs suddenly possessed by demons. What does that look like? I don't know. Do their little curly tails suddenly straighten? Do they have a little hop when the demons possess them? Do their pig eyes roll to the back of their heads? I don't know, but to see 2,000 pigs suddenly possessed by a demon and run down a hill and fall into the lake and drown. And you guys know pigs. Pigs aren't normally mistaken for flotation devices. Pigs are in denial. They'll just tell you they're big boned. But pigs weigh a lot, and they drown instantly. And I would love to have seen this play out. And I know that there's some questions here, and I find it very comical, but there are some serious questions here, and questions I don't know I have the answers to. Why do the demons want to go into the pigs? Why does Jesus let them? And there seems to be some evidence that demons are contained in regions from some passages in the Old Testament and in some apocryphal literature of the Jews. It seems that demons need to try to inhabit something while they're on this planet. And beyond that, I don't claim to be an expert in the spiritual realm. And so I don't know if there is an answer. And I kind of think it's probably wrong to try and speculate too much, because Mark doesn't tell us the answer to our questions. Mark doesn't give us the why. And I think it's because it detracts from the main point. And the main point is that Jesus has authority over the demons. And more importantly than that, Jesus is growing his kingdom. And this man who is possessed by up to 6,000 demons for the first time in his life finally is free. Jesus rescues this man. He is freeing him from the realm of Satan, from the kingdom of Satan, that the kingdom of Satan has been repulsed by the kingdom of God. And I just want to stop right here in this story and say, praise the Lord. Our God is an awesome God. Jesus has authority over legion, and that is so worthy of worship. That we sing praises to the God who has complete control over a whole host of demons. But there's more to the story. Verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. That back into town, there's a town nearby on the lake. People are minding their own business, going around their normal day, when suddenly three men come bursting into town. and they're out of breath, but through their harried breathing, they can hear the words crazy, naked, guy, lake, boat, demons, pigs. And the town's like, what is going on by the lake? And so the whole town gets up and they go out to see what is happening out by the lake. What is going on out there? We heard something. And so they rush out to the lake, and as they get closer, they see a group of men, a group of foreigners from across the lake. And as they get closer, they see one other man sitting at the foot of one of the men that is standing near the boat. And suddenly they pause because they go, that's crazy naked guy. Is it safe to get close? We don't want to get too close. But suddenly they realize he's wearing clothes. He doesn't seem to be erratic. He, in fact, seems to be sitting in reverence at the feet of one of these other men. What happened to crazy naked guy? Is this man he's sitting at the feet, is he even more powerful than the demons that have possessed this man from our region? And they're afraid. And then they start to take in their surroundings because they suddenly realize, wait, we don't hear anything. And they scan the hillsides looking around, and suddenly they realize, where'd all the pigs go? Like, we don't hear any oinks or squeals. What happened to all the pigs in our region? Where are they? And at this point, the three men that had come in to share the news comes in. They finally have caught their breath, and they tell people, we saw this man that crazy naked guy is sitting at his feet. We saw him send the demons into the pigs. And then we saw the pigs rush down and jump into the lake, and how this newcomer from across the lake is responsible for everything that has happened. And the crowd doesn't know how to respond. The loss of the pigs, the man who has power to banish a legion, he was stronger than the man who was inhabited by a legion of demons and that lived among the tombs, and they don't know what to do, and so they just plead with Jesus, just leave. Leave our region. We don't want you here anymore. Don't cause any more damage. And my heart breaks because this is the true commentary on the lives of the people of this town, that they cared more about the loss of their pigs than they did about the healing of their man, that they cared more about the economic loss in their region than the restoration of a man who was tormented by demons. They put money over people. They put animals over people. And that is not the correct ordering of life. That Matthew 12 says that people are much more valuable than animals. And Matthew 6 says you cannot serve God and money. I'm not saying it wasn't a huge loss. It was a huge loss. The average pig produces 23 pounds of bacon. The world lost 46,000 pounds of bacon that day. That is something to mourn. But let me make it more clear. Imagine if Jesus drove demons onto a car dealership and 2,000 cars race out of the parking lot and fall into the ocean. That's a huge loss. Well, if it's a Honda CR-V, it's whatever. But if it's a RAV4, huge loss. But it forces the people to recognize and ask them the question, what do we really care about? What do we really care about? Do we care more about people, or do we care more about animals? Do we care about those made in the image of God, or do we care more about money? This was a member of their community who Satan had complete control over. And for the first time in his life, the kingdom of God comes in and saves and redeems their man, their community, someone from their community, and they are more concerned about the pigs. And I think for us that we have to ask ourselves the same question. What do we value more? Do we value humans or animals? Do we value those made in the image of God, or do we value money? How do we respond when we are forced to make a decision between the two? Do we care more about the kingdom of God pushing out the kingdom of Satan? Is that the most important thing in the world? Because this story illustrates so much how beautiful it is when the authority of God wins. Because the end of this story is truly the most beautiful thing in this story. Verse 18, the end of the story. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And I love this story because this man responds to Jesus. And he wants to go with him. He wants to travel with Jesus. Jesus has completely changed his life. And there is nothing that this man wants to do more than to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. A man that was completely ruled in every literal sense of the word by the kingdom of Satan. That Satan had control over every aspect of his life. He wasn't even in control of his own faculties. And when Jesus shows up, he casts Satan out of his life. And for the first time, this man is free. This is an extraordinary miracle of Jesus. And this man just wants to follow him for the rest of his life. But Jesus doesn't let him come. Jesus says, "No, you can't follow me." He doesn't get to go back across the lake. Jesus says, "Stay here. Stay in your region. Stay in the Decapolis and tell your story. Stay where the people know you. Stay where the people will see the physical scars on your body and know exactly why they are there. Stay with the ones who know your story, who've seen you at your worst, and go and tell them your story of what Jesus has done in your life." This is a Gentile region. It's not Israel. There is no Jewish political Messiah expectation. He is free. Go into your towns and tell the story of the man who freed you from the kingdom of Satan. Tell the story of what Jesus has done for you. And then Jesus gets back in the boat and heads back across the lake. And this blows my mind because Jesus has literally traveled across the lake to spread the kingdom of God. That he says, "I'm going into Gentile land to spread the kingdom, to push out the kingdom of Satan and bring in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus makes landfall, steps off the boat, is there for, what, a couple hours at the most, deals with one man, saves his life, gets on the boat and heads back. That he crossed the lake, went through that storm, all for one person. And yet that's the beauty of the kingdom of God, that Jesus can spend less than a day and he has a witness, that one man has experienced the power of the kingdom of God and now is commissioned to go out and make more disciples. That Jesus, in the multiplying effect that he always does, has one disciple, and he is going to go out and multiply the kingdom of God. That his life, his witness, will now shine forth in his community, and everyone will know why crazy naked guy is now Jesus following guy. That's the kingdom of God. And this is an incredible story. It's in a big section of Mark. It's all about the incredible stories of Jesus. That Jesus can take on 6,000 demons and they don't stand a chance. We worship that God. That's our Savior. But I want to focus in as we close on the kingdom of God once again. It's what Jesus was all about. Because the kingdom of God is for everyone. The kingdom of God is for everyone. No one is too far away from the kingdom of God, even a man filled with up to 6,000 demons. And if you want a real-life example of what that first soil looks like in the parable of the sower at the beginning of chapter 4, this man is that first soil. Satan has quite literally snatched any seeds thrown at him, that he is completely under the authority of Satan. And yet even he is not too far from the kingdom of God. Jesus is still able to rescue him. And I think the same is true in our lives today. No one in our lives is too far gone from Jesus. Jesus can save anyone and Jesus can use anyone. And that means that we can't give up on people. That we are ambassadors for God. And that we go from our true nation and we step into other nations, this world, into the kingdom of Satan. We proclaim a message that the kingdom of God has come. And there is no one we run into that is too far away from Jesus, that is too far gone. Don't give up on the people in your lives. And secondly, and I'd say even more importantly, crazy naked man became a witness for Jesus. He has zero theological training. He didn't grow up in a Jewish home. He knows nothing of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All he knows is that Jesus saved him. He spent, what, an hour with Jesus? He once was blind, but now he sees. He once was in the kingdom of Satan, and now he's in the kingdom of God. And all he can tell is his story, his changed life. And that's all Jesus wants him to share. Tell your story. And he uses that word witness. And in a courtroom, a witness is just someone who just shares their firsthand eyewitness testimony to what they've seen. And that's what we should be as well. That we are called to be witnesses. Tell the story of what Jesus has done in your life. Let your changed life be evident to others. Has Jesus changed your life? Tell someone. Everyone talks about the things that they love. Parents always talk about their kids. Sports fanatics are always talking about the breaking news for their sports team. Everyone always wants to tell you about their latest hobby that they've gotten into. Don't tell me you don't know enough about Jesus to share the good news. Because if Jesus has changed your life, that's the story he wants us to tell. He wants us to be a witness for him. Give the firsthand eyewitness account of what Jesus has done in your life. Because we're in a battle that this has got military themes all over. This guy is named as Legion. We've got the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God in battle because there is a real war going on right now as we speak. We do not live in a story of Pride and Prejudice or the Secret Garden. This is Black Hawk Down. We were soldiers, Saving Private Ryan. There is a battle going on right now, and we are soldiers in the kingdom of God. That there is the kingdom of God is advancing against the kingdom of Satan, that there are casualties out there that we are called to go rescue, to bring into the kingdom of God, to take deliverance and salvation to those who so desperately need it. I love Jude says, snatch people from the fire. That is the mission. That is the call of the church, that there are people that need to hear the message of Jesus and be brought into the kingdom of God. That are we going into our cities? Are we going into our communities and being a witness? Are we telling the stories of what Jesus is doing in our lives and how we have seen Jesus change us? Are we too busy rewatching our favorite shows on Netflix before they get taken down? Talk about the God that you love. Tell the story of how he has saved your life. You are a new creation if you are in Christ. And that is the most magnificent story the world will ever hear. Just like Crazy Naked Guy, talk about how much the Lord has done for you and how God has had mercy on you. Let's pray. Lord, I am in awe of how powerful you are. Lord, I thank you that in the midst of chaos and confusion, we can trust the God who has complete authority and complete control. And Lord, I just pray that all of us would be your witnesses. Lord, that we would follow the example of a man possessed by Legion, that we would go out and tell the story of what you have done for us and how you've had mercy on us. Jesus, give us your heart for people. Give us your heart to see the lost and to go out and to snatch people from the fire. Lord, you've been so, so good to us, and we just want to praise the powerful and holy and awesome God you are. Amen.